when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is August the 10th. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are so delighted to be here. I think all of y'all have been here. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, I'm really excited tonight. And I'd like to ask your forgiveness. Last week, I was so tired, I could hardly stand up. I was nervous. I was just beat down. And I listened to the archives, and I think it was probably the crappiest job I had done all year. We had a great show. We had great content. We had good guests. But I just butchered it on my part. So please forgive me that, y'all. I'm going to try to improve. I'm going to try to slow down just a little bit tonight, even though the adrenaline is rushing. Meanwhile, I told you the date. You're listening to Blood River Radio. Thanks to Sam Bushman. I'm not kidding you. If you say I'm arrogant, that's tough. That's too bad. We're just arrogant. I think in our class, in our category, I think we're the hottest show going right now. And I'm telling you what, I'm not blowing hot air. There's no way in hell we could do this show like we've been doing it and be as hardcore as we are without Sam Bushman. There's not another owner in the United States on the radio that would allow us to get by with what we get by with Sam. And we try, and we obey the law. And we're not advocating breaking the law, but we know we have so many enemies out there that are waiting for us to make one little trip. And listen, Sam Bushman puts his neck on the line every stinking week we come in here because he knows that, especially with Lee Cochran over here, we have loose cannons. I mean, people might say we're a loose cannon, but I want to thank Sam. There's nobody, and I'm not blowing hot air. Sam, if Sam knows anything about me, he can tell you the Big E does not blow hot air. I don't BS around, but Sam is the man, and I love you, Sam. I'm about to get tears now, but thank you, Sam, for letting us do what we do here, because God Almighty, it's a calling just like being called to the ministry. This is a ministry. Okay, people, before we go to any of the other announcements, we're going to get Matt, a little Matt Goodwin, to say the prayer. Matt, if you will, say the prayer, son, and we're going to get ready to rock and roll, fella.
Thanks, Eddie. I want everybody to reflect on Psalm 63. It's a Psalm of David. He says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Though I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of the liars will be stopped." Let's bow our heads and pray at this truth. Father, we pray that you stop the mouths of these liars among us. We pray for a change in regime in this country. The leadership needs total change. And we pray that we have leaders that accept your truth and serve you and want to proclaim that among your people. Father, use these hours and use us to teach people your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to add something to do that, son. I call these kids the son. I can't help it, man. I'm so freaking old, and I have this strong paternal instinct. I take kids under my throat. Even though he's a grown man, I just love him to death. And I would fight for the death for my guys. I really do. I love them that much. I was listening to one of my favorite songs, and you maybe call me a wuss, but it's called What God Can Do. And I'm just going to say, people out there, if you're hurting, and if you're not a Christian, if you hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I did when I was almost 62 years old. It changed my life. You know, I've never been the same. I'm not where I should be, but I'm a lot better now than I used to be. But you know what? If you're feeling down, if you feel there's no hope, you know, for instance, like the chimes of times ring out the news that another day is through. Someone's tripped and fell. Is that someone you? Well, I'll give you the good news is, you know, there is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for the others, he can do for you, and he can and he will. And he's going to save us in this nation, because I'm telling you, flat out, there's no way in hell we can defeat the satanic people, the forces against us without God's help. We're just too outnumbered. But we will beat the satanic bastards, because God took 300. He didn't need 300,000. He took 300 and beat armies of 100,000. Okay, let me get off of that right quick. Like, I want to thank, I have a really good friend of mine. He's not who everybody thinks he is, but I've known him for years and years and years. He sent us the third largest donation we've ever had. And he thinks I'm too hard on our brothers, Hebrew brothers. But I can see his point sometimes. You know, we've got some good Jews. In fact, Lee knows some of them. Sent Lee an article tonight about some good Jews that are protesting what Israel's doing to the Palestinians over there in lands that used to be Palestine that's now Israel. So I'd like to thank you, Bugs, but you're the only person who knows who you are when I refer to as Bugs. I could tell you stories. We used to punish Bugs, man. We used to give him to hell. Bless his heart. I'm glad he didn't hate me for what we used to do to him. Okay, here's another. You know, Jacob's off tonight, y'all. And we got to get these announcements out of the way. I'm dragging my feet. Jacob's going to be off tonight. God bless him. Y'all keep Jacob in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. Keep Sam in your prayers. Next week we'll be out. Sam's going to run a tape show. It's going to be one of our best shows. It's going to be for our week from Charlottesville. We do need a break. I'm not kidding. It'll beat you down, this business. Okay, also, I'm going to remind you people that over the Labor Day weekend, me and our group, me and the Blood River guys, we're going to Harrison, Arkansas. We've been invited over there. We've had five or six invitations. I'm not kidding. I've been so flattered. I couldn't get out of it. I've been invited to speak up there, and so I'm really flattered about that. And there's going to be, I tell you, the keynote speaker is going to be a well known guy. His name is William Johnson. I think Sam knows him. He's a chairman of the American Freedom Party. These people told me that he wants to meet me. I mean, I don't know why in hell anybody would meet me, but anyway, it's a conference. I mean, it's a conference. It's going to be, and we're going to be covered. Here's the paper they sent us. It says the conference of. But attorney William Johnson, chairman of the American Freedom Party, he's the keynote speaker. It's going to be covered by Blood River Radio. It says we're a white nationalist radio sounding an alarm. I don't know if we're white nationalists. I call us a civil rights, a white civil rights group. But we don't punish anybody. We love everybody. Okay, we'll be right back, people. We're getting ready to go some great news. I want you to listen to it.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Cool. Me and Matt picked that song. I love that song. We'll explain it to you later tonight, but... Listen, as I was talking, we got to bring a guest on just a minute, in a few minutes. But listen, here's something else I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pray for Rudy Davis. Rudy Davis is one of our best friends here. Sam knows him all too well. Rudy Davis is probably the prison minister, summa cum laude. He's done more for prisoners, the political prisoners, than anybody I know. I would like to ask you to do something for me. I would like to ask you to go to the year of jubilee.com. That's Rudy Davis's website. I'll repeat that again. It's pretty easy to remember. Yearofjubilee.com. It's spelled with one L. It's spelled J-U-B-I-L-I. Go there, and he has a whole list of political prisoners that he works with, and he'll guarantee you that the ones he's got there that are in there illegally, not supposed to be in there, totally innocent. He will swear to that. So if you will, go to that website. If you can, help Rudy out, help the prisoners out, and God will bless you for that. By the way, we have a great guest tonight. She's on right now. Karen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, thank you, and you, Eddie?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited to have you on tonight. You were on a... oh, I know, month, 6 weeks ago. I can't remember the time goes by so fast. But
it does indeed. And you know, the older you get, the faster the time flies.
What you talked about. By the way, people, in case you don't know, Karen is a African-American. She was born and raised in South Africa. Her and her family, her dad, had to get the hell out of South Africa because you all know, you people that have been listening to this radio show, you know what's going on in South Africa. It's just all out open season on white people there. White people are being killed left and right, being raped, tortured miserably. And the rest of the world doesn't care. The rest of the world would probably say the sooner they're dead, the better. But anyway, Miss Karen, what's been going on lately? I know you still have relatives and friends in South Africa. Why don't you start filling us in on what's on the latest news?
Well, the biggest thing at the moment is expropriation without compensation, because after the elections in South Africa 6 or 8 weeks ago, they came out full on, because the economic freedom fighters under Julius Malema and the ANC under Ramaphosa have joined forces. So they now, in Parliament, have the 66% of the vote they need to do anything they want without anybody else being able to change it. So they have decided that they are definitely changing the constitution. They are going to take property without compensation. And this does not mean just farms. This means everything. It means your residential property, your business, your furniture, your car, your bank account, your insurance policies, your intellectual property, every damn thing that you worked your entire life for. They can appear at your door one day and say, we want you out in X amount of time because it's a we just need your property. And you have to hand over the keys and walk out literally with what you have on your back. Now, on top of all of that, the banks have come out and said they don't care if the government takes your property without compensation. You signed the mortgage. You will continue to pay for that property until it's paid for. Now, you know, Eddie, this is totally ridiculous. So on top of the huge droughts in South Africa that are causing the food prices to rise horrifically, the farmers are not ploughing and planting this year because in order to plant, most of them will have to go and take out a bank loan against the crops. And what is the point? If they could come tomorrow and take your farm and your equipment and everything away from you, why would you increase the mortgage you have, you know, the debt you have at the bank? So Zimbabwe is which used to be called Rhodesia, they are crying out for billions in international help to stave off famine. And they did exactly the same thing. They chased out or murdered all the white farmers. And now, instead of being the breadbasket of Africa, which fed most of Africa, they are now asking for international aid. But they are saying it's because of the drought, not because of mismanagement, not because of murdering the whites, not because of any of that. It is because of the drought that they are now starving. Apparently, they've even run out of rats to eat. There were pictures all over social media of them collecting rats and selling them on the street because that's all the food there was in the place. Well, apparently, there now aren't any more of those. So they are crying for the white farmers to come back, and crying for the world to now come and feed them. And this is exactly what is going to happen in South Africa. But the worst thing that the government has done is when they first talked about expropriation without compensation, they told the Zulu king that they would not be coming for his land. Now, he has a huge, huge area in Zululand or KwaZulu-Natal, whichever you want to call it, which is one of the most arable, most rain-soaked, best-growing areas in the whole of South Africa. It belongs to Inyongoma Trust, which in turn belongs to the Zulu King. And he told the ANC, if you come for my land, there's going to be civil war. Now, the Zulus are the strongest and biggest tribe in South Africa. And he assured them that this was not going to happen. But after the elections, they are now talking about disbanding the Inyongoma Trust. And the Zulu King and his people are up in arms. So if you don't think that is enough to set South Africa on fire, then I think you must be a little bit ignorant, because this is going to cause unbelievable war in that country. Not that they're not at war already. What has been happening is that they are having protests and riots, as they always do, but worse than usual. And they are stealing front-end loaders and using them to break up the main roads. So they are digging up and digging trenches in the main highways in South Africa to stop people from coming and going. And on top of that, they are stoning and burning 18-wheelers, which are the main source of transport of goods in South Africa. They are setting them alight, but first locking the drivers in and burning them alive in the trucks after they've been looted. So as I understand it, this year, about 1,200 18-wheelers have been burnt. And they're burning the trains, and they're burning the schools. So, on top of that, the police force and the army have proved themselves totally, totally useless. There's an area in Cape Town called the Cape Flats, where it's mainly inhabited by Cape Coloureds. Now, Cape Coloureds is not a rude term for them. They proudly call themselves that. They are mostly mixed-race people, Cape Malay and white people and or Bushmen and or black people. But they're mixed-race people, and they proudly call themselves Cape Coloureds. Now, in the Cape Flats, there's an awful lot of gang warfare. Awful lot. These are horrific, kind of like MS-13 gangs that operate on the Cape Flats, and they are responsible for a huge amount of the drugs flowing to the rest of the world. So the gang warfare was getting out of hand, and President Ramaphosa sent in the army to deal with it. And within a week, the army had to withdraw because they were outnumbered, outgunned, out everything, and they had to leave.
Miss Karen, we got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll let you continue on. I have a couple of questions. I'm sure Amanda have a couple of questions, but I'm really excited that you're here. Can't wait to get back after this commercial. People, hang on just a minute. We're going to be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Jeffrey Epstein has committed suicide. With that story, here's Wendy King.
Jeffrey Epstein, the multimillionaire who was accused of sexually abusing teenage girls, was found dead this morning. He killed himself last night in his cell in the Manhattan Correctional Center, where he'd been held without bail since his arrest early last month on sex trafficking charges. Miami Herald reporter Julie Brown has reported on him for over a decade.
Well, I'm pretty surprised, you know, that he had allegedly tried this before, so you would have thought that they would have been paying pretty close attention to him and had people really watching him. He should have been on suicide watch as it is, so it's kind of surprising.
Documents that were released yesterday by a federal appeals court in New York revealed former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, former Senator George Mitchell, and Britain's Prince Andrew were all clients of Epstein, all of whom deny the accusations.
This is USA Radio News.
There's something out there for you and me. And the American road is calling. So what's it gonna be? Hey, it's an amazing day. Traveling our own highway. No matter where it leads us, we can smile. Cause there's meaning in the mile.
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Libyan health officials say two UN security staff were killed when a bomb-laden vehicle exploded outside a shopping mall in Libya's eastern city of Benghazi. Benghazi is the stronghold of the self-styled Libyan National Army. Officials say the blast took place outside Arkan Mall, where people were gathering for shopping a day before the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha. The building is close to the offices of the UN support mission in Libya. Footage is circulating now, showing what appears to be burnt UN-owned vehicles while thick smoke continues to rise in the sky. No group has immediately claimed responsibility for the attack. A damaged tanker truck exploded in eastern Tanzania as people were trying to siphon fuel out of it, killing at least 62 in one of the worst incidents of its kind in the East African country. Tanzanian state broadcaster TBC, citing police figures, said at least 70 more people were burned and injured during the explosion. You can listen anytime online at usaradionews.com. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're back. Okay, people, we're having just a little bit of confusion here. We're trying to do a show 1,000 miles apart. We have a song loaded. Sam has loaded the song that Matt has picked out. So Sam is... Matt's going to introduce this song, and then Matt and our guests, they're going to dissect the song. It's has a big point to it. So, okay, Sam, go ahead with it and play that song, and then Matt, go ahead, fella.
Well, it's just a song that's originally based out of Ireland, but I thought it applied to the South Africans very well. So their situation, almost everything they're going through. So have a listen and see what you think.
Oh, Father dear, and I often hear you speak of Erin's Isle. Her lofty scenes, her valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a lovely land wherein a prince might dwell. Then why did you abandon it? Oh, the reason to me tell. My son, I loved my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came over all my crops and my sheep and cattle died. The rents and taxes were to pay, and I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason I left old Skibbereen. 'Tis well I do remember the bleak November day, when the bailiff and the landlord came to drive us all away. They set the roof on fire with their cursed English spleen, and that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, your mother, to God rest her soul, lay on the snowy ground. She fainted in her anguishing, seeing the desolation round. She never rose, but passed away from life to immortal dreams. And that's another reason I left old Skibbereen. Oh, you were only 2 years old, and feeble was your frame. I could not leave you with my friends, for you bore your father's name. I wrapped you in my coat the more, at the dead of the night unseen. And I heaved a sigh, and I said goodbye to dear old Skibbereen. Oh, well, Father dear, and the day will come when on vengeance we will call, and Irishmen both stout and tall will rally unto the call. I'll be the man to lead the van beneath the flag of green, and loud and high we'll raise the cry, revenge for Skibbereen.
Well, I think that song is more than appropriate. What do you think, Karen?
Absolutely. Absolutely, that is exactly what's happening in South Africa. They're taxing you to death, they're burning your houses down, they're murdering you. There are no crops. That's exactly what's going on in South Africa.
And they even addressed the fact that the British were attacking them in that song. And you know, according to the Boers back in y'all's history, the Boer Wars, the British were the ones that were certainly causing a lot of struggle for you guys.
Well, they're the ones who put in the apartheid laws in the first place. They are the ones who did that. They are the ones who put the laws in that blacks may not own land and blacks may not vote and blacks may not. Because in all of the history of South Africa, apartheid lasted approximately 45 years. South Africa's been around since 1625. Sorry, 1652. And so really to blame the Afrikaner for apartheid and for all the ills done, supposedly done to the blacks, is absolute nonsense. But, you know, that's what people are taught, and it's really hard to change their minds.
Yeah, the media has them conned that they think this little tiny 40-year window is where all the trouble started.
Absolutely.
When really, you know, you had a couple hundred years of different things going on before that. And just like in American history here, they say the same kind of garbage here about us.
I know that. And that is what is really upsetting me today, the parallels between what has happened in South Africa and what is happening here. That brings me to my second point about the police in South Africa. So illegals are pouring into South Africa from Zimbabwe because Zimbabwe is starving. And what they did the other day was, last week, they went on a protest and a riot in the streets of Johannesburg. So the police SWAT teams were sent in. Well, what passes for a SWAT team in South Africa? If you Google it, you'll actually get hysterical, having seen an American SWAT team and what passes for SWAT in South Africa. Anyway, they went in to quell the riots in the middle of Johannesburg, because once more, they were spreading garbage everywhere, they were burning, they were looting, and the police were sent in. And what happened? The police had to withdraw. These people with sticks and stones chased the SWAT teams out of the middle of Johannesburg. And the police commissioner came out and said, well, the reason that they strategically withdrew is because they didn't want a bloodbath, so they didn't want to fire live ammunition into the crowds. Now, there are videos available of the police in the vehicles and how badly beaten up they were. So what this proves is that neither the army nor the police can keep the peace in South Africa. And if you look at the situation against the white people in South Africa, this is terrifying, because Julius Malema and Blackland First are determined, as they say, to drive every white into the sea, or is, as Blackland First said, we are going to kill every white man, his wife, his sons and daughters, his cats and dogs, and everything above and below ground that belongs to him. So, given that scenario, if 10,000 of them, never mind 100,000 of them, took to the streets and decided today they are going on a rampage and wiping out as many white people as they can, who is going to stop them? And it's a terrifying thought.
I think it's nobody at this point. My question, if the KWZ, the KwaZulu-Natal, if they go to war with the ANC government, as you were discussing earlier, would the whites have any type of reprieve from immediate danger, or would they
be stuck in the middle? They'd be stuck in the middle. Because, look, in my opinion, the only thing that has united the 11 or more tribes in South Africa since 1994 is a common hatred. So they have been raised up from junior school to hate whites and blame whites and Jan van Riebeck for every single ill that ever happened in their lives. So if these two go to war against each other, the whites are going to be caught in the middle. They are going to be caught in the middle and wiped out. There is no way that they can survive that. And it worries me, because in the lead up to the 1994 elections, Inkatha Freedom Party, which is the Zulus, and the ANC, there were mega, and I mean thousands of murders leading up to the 1994 elections, as those two parties battled for who was going to get South Africa, and the ANC won. But there is simmering hatred, especially because President Zuma, who was ousted, he is a Zulu, and Ramaphosa is not. So the Zulus are already champing at the bit and trying to get Zuma back into power. So there's a whole lot of slipstreams going in South Africa that are not good for the few remaining whites. It is very, very scary.
It's scary. We've got to go to a break and hear the music coming, and we're going to go to a break, and we come back. I've got a comment or two to make. So, people, hang on to your seats. Miss Karen's got one more segment here. We may carry over for another one. We'll see how it goes. Be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, folks, we're right back. After that break, we're going to go right back to Miss Karen. But I've got a quick little comment of just some life experiences, you might say. A lot of people who listen to our show, they know I'm 72 years old. I've been in the Black Belt of the United States all my life. When I say the Black Belt, it's a strip of land along the Mississippi River that goes from the Delta. The Delta, Mississippi River Delta, probably starts properly, technically, from up probably around the Arkansas-Missouri line north, the Kentucky-Tennessee line on the on the eastern side of the river. We have more blacks probably in the United States in that black belt than anywhere in the United States, probably anywhere in the world except in Africa. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I've been around blacks all my life. I've seen the poor. I've seen the rich. I've seen lawyers. I've seen doctors. I've seen sharecroppers that were blacks. I'm going to tell you to a man, and you may not like this, but there is a genetic hatred that the, even the so-called good blacks have it. Now, I've been around blacks. I have some blacks I like. I'm not going to say, oh, and you'll never hear me say, oh, but I have a black friend. Oh, I have a Jewish friend. Yes, I have. I do get along with some blacks. But I'm going to tell you something I know, and I've learned the hard way, and it's nearly cost me my life many times, is that you can never, ever trust them when they get into a group. If one or two, maybe, they're okay. But if you ever get a gang of blacks together, they get that, especially if there's anything, if there's any type of friction coming up, they get a critical mass, whether you're greatly outnumbered, that tribal mentality comes out. It's just like a natural hate. It's a, they hate you. You have no experience of the primal satanic hate they have for white people. I've experienced it over and over and over. And I can tell people that grew up in Minnesota and Wisconsin and wherever, where it's 90% white, do not lecture me about being a racist, because by God, I've lived it. I've lived around them all my life. And I tell you what, they can make your life hell if you're not streetwise. And that's just the way it friggin' is. And that's the way that what you're going on through in South Africa right now, Miss Karen, is exactly what we go through here in Memphis. As a matter of fact, Lee's got this thing. I'll go ahead and say it. We live here in Memphis, Tennessee. Your chances of being mugged, killed, et cetera, in Memphis, Tennessee is 1 in 12. 1 in 12. And that's when we have supposedly a good police force. Now, I'm going to shut up, Miss Karen, go to you, and then when you get through commenting, go back to Matt.
I absolutely agree with you, Eddie. People who have not lived in Africa do not understand the inherent two things, inherent hatred and inherent violence in African people. It is awful, and that is why if they come to murder some bedridden 84-year-old woman, they come in gangs of six or eight of them, because they rev each other up, you understand. One at a time. I mean, you would think that one young, fit man would be enough to overpower a bedridden 84-year-old woman, but no, they have to bring six or eight of them to do it. And they all have their turn at raping, and then they use broken bottles and sharpened broomsticks, and then they pour boiling oil down the poor woman's throat, and then they drill holes in her legs and watch her bleed to death. It is shocking what these people are capable of. And so, yes, people also tell me I'm a racist, but I'm not. I'm reporting on facts. And the facts are, I have never, ever heard of such unbelievable violence as they use in attacks on whites in South Africa. The only comparable violence that they use on each other is necklacing. But other than that, a black-on-black murder is nothing like what they do to white people in South Africa. And when you think about it, there are only about 3.5 million. In fact, probably less than that now, because everybody who can leave is leaving in droves. Over a million people, that black and white altogether, have left South Africa this year. They're sending their money out as fast as they can, getting it out of the country. So, of the remaining approximately 3.5 million whites, over a million of them are living in direst poverty and hoping against hope that they can find a place in a squatter camp, where they have the illusion of safety in numbers. But the squatter camps are bursting at the seams. There is no space for any more people. And the unemployment numbers are horrific. The number of companies leaving the country, the mines closing down, etc. There have been over 500,000 jobs lost in South Africa this year alone.
Karen, I've got a question.
In
follow-up, I agree with both of y'all about y'all's assessment of black people. Another part of the assessment I'm going to add is that they spook very easily. Black people, for some reason, they're brutal people, but they will spook, and they get very scared very easy. And I don't know why that is. But in my experience, that's always been the case. But my question is, When are the whites? You've mentioned law and order breaking down. They don't have jobs. The streets are getting tore up. We know what, based on everything you're saying, it sounds like they're going to be caught in between a civil war between the Zulus and the ANC. When are the whites going to start fighting back?
With what?
Absolutely,
with
what?
To fight back. They were disarmed in 1994 when St. Nelson Mandela took over as president there. They were disarmed. And recently, they are now trying to disarm the private security companies, which are the only protection that the whites have got. In fact, the police are using private security companies to protect police stations at night because they're too scared to be there alone at night, the black policemen. So now they are disarming them as well. So where do we go from here? The only people that have firearms are the crooks, which they have taken from the army. A whole bunch of army guys were held up. An army base was held up by what we call Tsotsis in South Africa, gang members in South Africa, held up at knife point, and their firearms and ammunition were stolen. Over 1 million rounds of ammunition and over 5,000 firearms were stolen. So only the bad guys are fully armed. So what are the whites supposed to do? How do 3.5 million people fight 70 million other people when they are so spread out across the country, 1.5 times the size of Texas? They are spread out from the top of Texas to the bottom of Texas in small communities. How do they defend themselves? How do they stand up and fight? And with what?
Miss Karen, I got to chime in here. You're really getting my blood boiling. Matt knows, I know, Sam knows. If you'll, and I know you're a United States citizen now. If you look in the media right now, all this drumbeat we hear, take the guns. Yes. We have this MK Ultra shooter. We have this Manchurian candidate shooters that the CIA is running and turning loose to try to cover up their international child smuggling rings. Yeah. So we can take the heat off of that. So we're going to disarm all the whites. Well, you know what? If we give up our guns, the exact same thing is going to happen. It's what's happening in South Africa, Miss Karen. We talked to a fellow from Croatia, and he said, here's what he said. I'm going to shut up and go back to you and Matt. He said he's seen this movie before. He said the movie in the United States, he said it has about 15 minutes left in about a three-hour movie. He said it's coming. But I'm telling you what, people, if you give up your guns, you're a fool. Why would you think why do you think the government wants your guns, man? I come back to you, Miss Karen.
Say that you cannot fight back. That is exactly why. And, you know, they did it the same as they took our country away from us based on a lie. They asked in the referendum, should we go ahead and negotiate with the ANC for a peace in our country? And we all said, yes, go ahead and negotiate. Well, before we could blink our eyes, we were handed over to the ANC on a golden platter. So then the ANC said, look, because we had gun licenses, every gun you owned had to be registered under the Nationalist Party government. So when the ANC took over, they had this wonderful registry. They knew where you lived and what firearms you owned. And what they said was, okay, we're a new government. You're going to have to apply for a new firearm license under our rules. So if your surname begins with A, you have until this date to go to your local police station and hand in your firearms. They will be kept in a gun safe until you get a license from us and you can go and get them back.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, sure. So we did that because South Africa...
Just like our Social Security checks are in a safe box here in the United States. I'm sorry I'm cutting you off. Just like the Social Security, stupid Al Gore talking about, oh, your Social Security payments are in the government lockbox. Yeah. So I guess their guns are in a government lockbox, huh, Karen?
They were. But then what happened was the police were selling them to criminals and even hiring them at $5 a day, the equivalent of, to who do you think is going to go and borrow or hire a gun? Do you think it's some law-abiding citizen who's going to go and watch shoot cockroaches in his house? Of course they were hired to criminals. So your very own firearms were used against you. Now they're all missing. And when they've destroyed the remaining ones the other day, they only had 300,000 left of millions that were handed in. So do not, under any circumstances, and I don't care what they promise you, don't hand.
Miss Karen, would you like to hang on? We're coming to the end of the hour. Would you like to come on for the first segment of the second hour?
Absolutely, why not?
Well, hold on then. Hold on. Sam's going to hold you over. Just hang on. We're going to bring you right back. We cannot let this go right now. People, we're going to continue this red-hot conversation. We'll come back. We'll go back to Karen and Matt and Lee. So hang on to your seats.